Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen, she shall no more rise, she is forsaken upon her land, there is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood, and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name, that strengtheneth the spoiled against the strong, so that the spoiled shall come against the fortress. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, but ye shall not drink wine of them. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just, they take a bribe, and they turn aside the poor in the gate from their right. Therefore the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. Therefore the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord, saith thus, Wailing shall be in all streets, and they shall say in all the highways, Alas, alas! And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? I despise your feast days. And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vials. But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch, and Kion your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts.
Amen. Amos chapter 5, beginning of verse number 14, the Bible reads, Seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as ye have spoken. Hate the evil and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And the title of my sermon this morning is Make America Hate Again. Amen. Make America Hate Again. Now, today we live in a day where people's minds are programmed by television, radio, magazines, the mass media has brainwashed America today. Yep. And it's not just on the left-wing liberal side, it's on the conservative right-wing side as well. Yep. Both sides of the media are completely controlled, and there's a devilish agenda to get us to think in a way that is contrary to the way that God wants us to think. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, and the next words are key, by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to renew our minds this morning. We need to have a mind that thinks the way that God wants us to think, not the way that we've been programmed by the media to think. God wants us to have the mind of Christ. And the way that we get that mind is by reading the Word of God. And I hope that this year, as we go into 2018, you read your Bible every single day and give priority to the Word of God. And don't roll out of bed and turn on some morning talk show. Roll out of bed and turn on the Bible. Roll out of bed and pull out your Bible and read it. But part of this brainwashing has been over the last few decades to tell us that all hate is wrong. Hate is bad, and we just hear about it all the time, hate speech and hate group and hate this and hate that, just demonizing the idea of hate. When in reality, hate is a normal emotion that every single human being has. It's just part of the human experience. The Lord himself has hate. God has hate. Every single person has hate. But we're told, no, don't hate. But this is just a code word for don't preach against sin. This is just a code word for don't stand up to that which is evil. It's a code word of tolerate everything and everyone and just love the devil, love sin, love filth, love wickedness. Well, they didn't get to me. Because that's not how I think. I let the Bible tell me that there's a time to love and there's a time to hate. In this chapter that we just read from the Word of God, Amos chapter 5, there are numerous examples in this chapter of the right kind of hate and the wrong kind of hate, both. There are examples of God hating their solemn feast. There are examples of wicked people hating a godly preacher. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, the Bible told us. But the part I want to focus on is beginning in verse 14, where it says, "Seek good and not evil, that ye may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as ye have spoken." Hate the evil. Now let me just point out, that's a command. He didn't say, if you want. He didn't say, well, you could. No, he says, you must. That's imperative. And people today just think, well, just to be on the safe side, I'm just going to love everybody and everything. Is that what the Bible says? No. And notice, it doesn't say hate evil and love good. That's not what it says. It says hate the evil and love the good. Okay, you say, what's the difference? Because those are talking about people. Okay, that's why it has the word the in front of it. And establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. If we want God to be gracious unto the righteous remnant in America, we better hate the evil and love the good. Now, if you would, turn over to Psalm 36. Turn to Psalm 36. While you're turning there, I'll read for you some other scriptures. Because I have a lot of scripture this morning that's ignored by a lot of people today, but there's a lot of Bible on this. The Bible says in Psalm 97, verse 10, "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Romans chapter 12 says this. You're going to Psalm 36. Romans 12:9 says, "Let love be without dissimulation." Now, what does dissimulation mean? Well, we all know what simulation means. A simulator is something that's not real. It's fake. And the Bible says, let your love be without dissimulation. What does that mean? To have real love, not love that's fake. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So according to the Bible, the way that our love is not fake is when we abhor the evil and cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. You see, in order to have the right kind of love that's without dissimulation, we have to hate evil, the Bible says. Look at Psalm 36, verse 1. "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." What is that verse saying? The Bible is saying that just by looking at the transgression of the wicked, we just look at the sins that they do, that's how we can ascertain the fact that they don't have any fear of God. Isn't that what the Bible's saying? "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes." He's saying, look, when I look at people just committing all manner of wickedness and sin in my heart, you know what I'm thinking? Well, that person doesn't have any fear of God. That's what he says in verse 1 there. Look at verse 2. "For he flattereth himself in his own eyes." So he doesn't fear God, but he flatters himself in his own eyes, thinking, I'm not that bad. I'm a pretty good guy. But look at the next phrase. "Until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He had left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." What's the problem with this guy? He He doesn't hate evil. What does abhor mean? Hate. He abhorreth not evil. He doesn't hate evil. And what's interesting is that according to the Bible, his iniquity is what's really hateful. You know, everybody will look at Bible-believing Christians today and preachers who preach hard on sin, and they say, oh, Pastor Anderson's so hateful. But you know what the Bible calls hateful is the iniquity of people who don't fear the Lord. That's what is hateful. Right. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And today we have a lot of people who love in word, they love in tongue, their mouth makes very great and fair speeches, and with their tongue they show much love, but according to the Bible, their iniquity shows them to be hateful. And on the flip side of that, there are a lot of people who talk a lot about love, but they're not loving in deed. Don't just love in tongue, the Bible says, love in deed and in truth. Isn't it interesting that the churches today in America that are doing the most soul winning, that are having the strongest outreach, knocking the most doors, and winning thousands of people to the Lord are the same churches that preach the hardest against sin? And then the churches who say, oh, you guys are so mean, you're so judgmental, you're so hateful, you're too negative, are the same ones who don't give a rip about all the people that are dying and going to hell. Why? Because their love is all talk. Why? Because their love is dissimulated, that's why. See, it's easy to just get up and say, oh, I just love everybody. Oh, we just love our city. We just love our community. We just love the lost. We just hate the sin and love the sinner. Sorry, I got that backwards. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah, we just hate the sin and we just love the sinner. Yeah, you love him so much that you won't witness to him.
Right.
You love him so much that you've scaled back soul winning to once a month. You love him so much that you rarely preach the gospel while the hate group down in Tempe is going out soul winning every day.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's real love.
Amen.
We actually do love the lost. We actually care. We actually want to get people saved. And when we say, I love you, you know that we really mean it. Because if we hated you, we'd tell you.
Yeah.
Bunch of fake frauds. Going around with just all their love, 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 but their iniquity shows how hateful they are.
Right.
Their lack of soul winning shows the hate. Their unwillingness to preach on sin shows me that there's no fear of God before their eyes. See, it's a fraud today. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We should hate sin today.
Amen.
Why is the sermon called Make America Hate Again? Because you know what? America needs to hate sin again. We need to get to the place where we hate murder, we hate adultery, we hate robbery, we hate wickedness. We ought to get to the point where it makes us mad today. God's angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says. But today, because we just watch it all on TV and watch it all through the Hollywood movies, we're to the point now where it doesn't bother us. Adultery doesn't really get us that mad. You know, I mean, we know it's wrong. We know it's a sin. But do we hate it? Do we hate adultery? Do we hate abortion? Do we hate murder? Do we hate drunkenness? Do we hate drugs? You know what? If my kids grow up hating drunkenness and hating drugs and hating adultery and hating murder, you know, they're a lot less likely to go into that sin than the child who's brought up with, well, you know, it's a sin, but all sin's equal, and, you know, we're all sinners, and, you know, God's the God of the 500 millionth chance, and so, you know, we just don't get too worried about it. Never throw anybody out of the church for anything. No, we'll throw out the drunks and the adulterers and the fornicators and all the rest of it. That's what the Bible commands us to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We need to get hate in its proper place. You say, you're radical. That's funny because the mainstream independent fundamental Baptist Bible teacher, Dr. Jack Hiles, who was mainstream in the last generation, right? Most popular independent Baptist preacher in America, he had a whole pamphlet called The Christian's Hate Life. Right? So what, you know, but all of a sudden now, through the brainwashing, you don't hear preaching like that coming from independent Baptists anymore. Why? Because it's become unpopular. But yet we're supposed to preach the truths of the Bible instant, in season and out of season. And so these verses are still in the Bible today, despite what the media will tell us. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6 in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter number 6. I remember when I was a teenager, I did not hate sin. And, you know, thank God I grew up in a Christian home. I thank God that I grew up an independent fundamental Baptist, and I went to a lot of Christian school, went to a lot of church services. My parents taught me the Bible. And as a lukewarm teenager, I remember reading my Bible and reading a lot of these scriptures. And I remember I got on my knees in my bedroom and I said, Lord, I do not hate sin like I should, Lord. And I told the Lord, I said, you know what? I'm not going to fornicate because you've told me not to, and I fear the consequences of what you would bring upon me if I committed that sin. I fear you, and therefore I will not fornicate. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to do these things that were tempting when you're a teenager, you know, the things that teenagers are often tempted with. But I told the Lord, I said, you know what? I'm not going to do them because of fear of you. But I can't honestly say that I hate adultery, that I hate fornication, that I hate murder, that I hate drunkenness, Lord. And I prayed to God and I said, God, I pray that you would just give me a hatred for sin. I just pray that you would just help me to hate sin, Lord, and not to desire it or think that it's something that would be good, but to have just disgust for it and hatred for it. And you know what? God answered that prayer, and now I'm known as one of the most hateful preachers in America. But you know what? I prayed that prayer, and I meant it, because I looked in my heart, and I said, you know what? Something's wrong with me if I don't hate sin. And I can just sit and watch it on TV or read about it in a book or watch it in a movie and enjoy just the idea of it, even though I'm not going to do it. And, you know, that's where a lot of Christians are at right now. That's where a lot of Christians are. They don't hate sin. We need to have a reaction that when we hear about adultery, it disgusts us, it makes us angry, it makes us upset. That's how we should react to sin. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, this is a great verse just to kind of show you what the word hate means, and it also kind of shows you what the word abomination means, both. Because Proverbs will often restate things like this, and it helps us to understand that an abomination is something that the Lord hates, or an abomination is something that someone hates. And it also shows us that the right type of hate here, what does it mean when it says that, you know, we should hate evil? It's saying that it should be an abomination unto us, right? It's something that we don't want anything to do with. We don't want it around. We don't want to look at it. That's what it means if something is an abomination unto you, right? So the Bible says in Proverbs 6:16, these six things do the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These are things that God hates. These are things that are an abomination unto God. And I submit to you that these things should be an abomination unto us as well. I mean, if God hates a lying tongue, then why do we love it? If God hates a false witness that speaketh lies, then why do we love that? If God hates feet that be swift in running to mischief, then why would we love feet that be swift in running to mischief? If God hates him that sows discord among brethren, why should we love him that sows discord among brethren? Why should we love the proud look, that's on the cover of all the rap music CDs. That's on the cover of all the albums of this world, where they get that proud look on their face. I'm so cool. I'm so awesome. I'm such a bad dude. You know, it's the pride of life, and it's not of the Father, it's of the world. And the Bible says, don't love that. Love not the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, don't love it. Hate it. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us. Hate the proud look. He said, the things that he hates are the things that are an abomination unto him. Flip over to Psalm 11. While you're turning there, I'll read for you from Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Let me ask this, is it abomination to you? The cross-dressing queers of our day? It's an abomination to the Lord. The Bible says all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. You know, if I see some dude dress in drag, you know, I just want to look away like, oh, gross. You know, that's exactly God's reaction. That's his identical reaction, because that's what he said his reaction is. He said all that do so are abomination unto him. So if we see that in Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, you know, there's nothing wrong with going, oh, gross, kids, look away. It's disgusting. But today in America, that's seen as unloving, unchristian. No, your iniquity is what's hateful. Get right with God. Psalm, where did I have you turn? Psalm 11, verse 5, the Bible reads, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. We shouldn't love violence. You know, if you just crave and desire to watch a movie where people are being blown apart and people are being butchered and there's blood and gore everywhere, you know what? You're a wicked person. That's what the Bible says. We should not love violence. And we shouldn't love the idea of our country going and just bombing and destroying civilians and just nuking cities or bombing cities and all this stuff and killing civilians with drone strikes and everything. You know, if you love violence, you're a wicked person, the Bible says. And you know what? Video games where you're just, where they're gory and graphic and stuff. I mean, why would you love seeing human suffering? Unless you're a sick person. A righteous person doesn't want to watch people brutally torn apart or blown apart and to see that gore. But in the movies, this is what's put on display, how realistic they can make it. The Bible says, him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Look at Psalm chapter 5, just a few pages back in your Bible. Psalm chapter 5, verse 5. You say, well, I'm offended by this sermon. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm offended by lame preaching. You know what I'm offended by? I'm offended by violent movies and violent video games. That's what I'm offended by. You know what I'm offended by? Adultery. You know what I'm offended by? Cross-dressing queers. You know what I'm offended by? Hollywood. I'm offended too. Psalm 5, verse 5, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. And by the way, I did a whole sermon several months ago on the workers of iniquity. This is not just your garden variety sinner. We're all sinners, amen? The Bible teaches that there's a special punishment, a strange punishment for the workers of iniquity. If you look up every time workers of iniquity is used, it's a special classification that is very consistent. I did a whole sermon on that a few months ago. But it says, the foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Verse 6, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. Go to Psalm 139, verse 21. Psalm 139, verse 21. Psalm 139, verse 21, the Bible reads, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Now, some people have not understood what it meant by perfect hatred. But the word perfect in the Bible means complete or entire. It means it's the whole thing, right? So when he says, I hate them with perfect hatred, here's what he's saying. All I have for these people is hatred.
Yeah.
Just complete hatred. He said, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Chronicles 19:2, the Bible says, and Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Why was wrath on King Jehoshaphat? Because he helped the ungodly and he loved those who hated the Lord. So let me ask you this. Is it possible that God's wrath could be on us today if we help the ungodly and love those that hate the Lord? Since God is the same yesterday and today and forever, since he's the Lord and he changes not. So don't get this out. Well, just to be safe, I'm just going to love everybody. You know, Charles Manson, the Pope, pedophiles, I'm just going to love everybody. Wrong. The Bible says don't love those who hate the Lord or God's wrath might be on you. Go, if you would, to, while you're there in Psalms, just flip back a few pages to Psalm 119, Psalm 119. You see, there's a reason why I'm preaching this sermon this morning. You say, you know, why would you even preach about this? I mean, couldn't you think of something better to preach about? I'll tell you why I'm preaching about this. Because I'm sick and tired of preachers being on the defensive for preaching the truth. Why should I be defensive about preaching the truth? Why should I have to explain myself or apologize for the truth? Well, I could explain what I meant. You know, yeah, here's what I meant. I hate these bunch of filthy perverts.
Amen.
Don't put it in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
But see, today, all the preachers are running scared. They're on the defense. They're trying to do damage control. Like, well, you know, that's not really what the Bible meant in all 45 of those verses. You know, they're all 45 of them are out of context. Look, what we need is preachers that are on the offense, that are taking it to the enemy instead of just cowering in fear and hiding all the time. Be like, oh, well, you know, I mean. And look, the sodomites today, they're not on the defense. The God-hating liberals of our day, they're not on the defense. They're on the offense. And you know what? We're just in full retreat as Christians, just running scared. And every once in a while, as we're just running scared, just throwing all the weapons down, and just a complete rout by the enemy, just a complete just disaster of a battle, just a rout and a retreat. Every once in a while, they just kind of like pick up a rock and toss it at the enemy and then start running away again. And then everybody gets all excited. Look at that bravery. Look at that warrior. Look at that fighter. They've thrown down all the weapons. Right? Every once in a while, as they're just in full sprint, fleeing from the enemy, they turn around and give them a finger gun like, pew. It's not going to get it done, friend. We need to start rolling in the tanks of God's word. We need to start rolling in some preachers with some serious armored divisions to come in and fire some serious salvos at the enemy. Look, we need to turn this thing around today. Quit running scared. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And you know, our church has never sounded the retreat yet in 12 years, and we're not going to start now. Year 13, 2018, it's going to be forward movement only.
Amen.
There's going to be no retreat. There's going to be no backing off. There's going to be no enemy advancement. No, no, no. They're not even going to get 1 yard of ground this year. In fact, we might even take a few yards from them.
Amen.
Psalm 119, verse 104. Let me just tell you how I feel this morning. Psalm 119, verse 104, this is how I feel. Through thy precepts, this is David praying to the Lord, through thy precepts I get understanding. And that's why I hate every false way. That's what David said. He said, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. You know what that tells me? People who don't hate false ways, people who don't hate false religion and false Bibles, you know what it tells me? They're not getting understanding from God's precepts.
That's right.
Because what's the therefore? The therefore is showing the effect of the cause and effect. You get precepts from God that give you understanding, and then what's the result? You hate every false way. Amen? You say, did you always hate sin and hate false religion? No, I didn't. But then I started reading the Bible. You know, if you would have talked to me when I was a teenager with my hair all punked out, I would have said, hey, God loves everybody. I would have said, hey, you know, hate the sin, love the music. As I listened to all the bands of this world with all their sodomite members. No, see, you get understanding from God's precepts, and then you hate every false way. Look at verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Look at verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. See, the guy who hates every false way, he thinks that God's right about everything. All his precepts about everything are always right. So that's why he never feels like he has to apologize for the judgments of the Lord.
Right.
Oh, well, you know, I can explain what God did back in Numbers. No, what God did in Numbers, that's how God is.
Amen.
And that's how he still is. He hasn't changed. Look at verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Flip over to Psalm 101, verse 3. Psalm 101, verse 3, while you're turning there, I'll read for you from Psalm 26, verse 5. The Bible reads, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Psalm 31, verse 6, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Why not? I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Go, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 20, the dreaded book. Leviticus chapter 20. While you're turning to Leviticus 20, I'll read for you from Zechariah chapter 8. The Bible reads, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9 of Jesus Christ says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. So let me ask you, did Jesus have hate? Why was Jesus anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows? Why was he so much greater than the angels, according to Hebrews chapter 1? Why was he so much greater than all the Old Testament prophets? The Bible says it was because he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. That's Jesus. Yep. Say, oh, don't hate. Hate's not a family value. Well, it is in my family.
Amen.
We hate drinking. We hate fornication. We hate adultery. We hate abortion. We hate sin. We hate the devil. We hate wickedness and iniquity and perversion and filth and smut. We ought to. We ought to hate it. What's the Bible say in Leviticus 20, verse 23? And ye shall not walk, this is verse 23, ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. Now, I'm going to show you several verses with the word abhor, and I want you to know that abhor is a synonym for hate. Yep. He's saying, I abhorred them. Why? Because they did all the filthy, perverted sins listed in chapter 20 there. Look at chapter 26 of Leviticus. Chapter 26 of Leviticus, verse 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. Verse 15, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. He starts to go into the curses on those who would abhor God's word. Jump down to verse 30. We'll get to one in particular. He says, I will destroy your high places. This is God speaking. And cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you, the Bible says. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32. You know what this is tonight or this morning? This is like a preview of all the wonderful reading you're going to do this year on your Bible reading plan. Amen. This is just kind of a little appetizer of all the scriptures that you didn't think were in the Bible, that you think, oh, God isn't like that. Well, you know what? I challenge you, read this and figure out what God is like. Come back to me when you're done reading your entire King James Bible cover to cover and then tell me what God's like. Because 99% of people down at the Fun Center Church, they've never read their Bible cover to cover and they don't know what God's like. That's why they think that that church is other than what God says is an abomination. And you know what? 99% of the people who go to our church either have read the Bible cover to cover or are working on it or will read it cover to cover. And that's why they come in and they listen to this preaching and they say amen and they understand it and they walk out saying, wow, that's so true, and you don't. You know, if you're here this morning sitting there thinking, these people are all nuts, how can they listen to this guy? Why don't you just put up a sign that says, I've never read the Bible cover to cover.
Right, amen.
I'm not kidding. That is the truth. That's the difference, my friend. There's two kinds of people in this world. People who've read their King James Bible cover to cover and people who haven't. People who've read it cover to cover, you know, when I'm bringing up these verses, they're thinking, yep, yep, yep. He missed a few. That's what they're thinking. People who've never read the Bible cover to cover are just like, oh, man, I can't believe that, you know, any preacher, who would listen to this guy? I mean, what's he talking about? Folks, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Have I said something this morning that wasn't from the Bible? Everything I've said is from the Bible. Page after page after page of scriptures. I'm telling you, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Right.
This is the answer, folks.
Amen. Amen.
Read the Bible cover to cover in 2018, and in 2019, the preaching will make sense to you. You'll never be able to go back to the Liberal Fun Center Church.
Right.
You'll go there and it'll just be a face palm the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Did he just say that? That's what you're gonna be thinking.
Yeah.
Retreat Baptist.
Yeah.
Full Retreat Baptist Church. Get out while you can, Baptist Church. Save yourself, Baptist Church. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 19 says, when the Lord saw it, he loved them anyway. No, I'm just kidding. No, when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. And if you would turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. While you're turning to Psalm 78, I'll read for you from Psalm chapter 10, verse 3. The Bible says, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Now, let me ask you this. If there's a guy, everybody just stop and logic with me for a minute. If there's a guy whom the Lord abhors, am I supposed to bless that guy? If the Lord abhors that guy? I mean, listen to what the verse says. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. What? It's the wicked that blesses those whom God hates. That's what the Bible says. Now you say, well, that's Old Testament. But here's the thing about the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is New Testament as well. The book of Psalms is for both Old and New Testament because the book of Psalms is something that we're commanded to sing in the New Testament. In the New Testament church, we're commanded to sing psalms in the local church. That's why many New Testaments even will have the book of Psalms appended to it, right? New Testament and Psalms. New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. Because we know that Psalms and Proverbs are books of timeless wisdom, timeless praises to God. They have nothing to do with the Mosaic Law or the Mosaic Old Testament covenant made at Mount Sinai, right? So it's just silly to say, well, let's throw out the book of Psalms. But they all love Psalm 23, and so do I. They all love Psalm 1, right? Everybody loves Psalm 34 and Psalm 37, and so do I. I love those psalms. I quote them regularly. I love them. But I also love Psalm 139. They love half of that. I also love Psalm 5, Psalm 11. You know, and that's why one of the tragedies of the fact that churches no longer sing the psalms to music is that they're losing all this doctrine too. You know, I like the fact that at our church, we sing through Psalm 11. But the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. And then you wonder why our church is different than the church down the street with. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Let's sing it an 11th time. Our God is an awesome God. We're down here singing the real stuff. That's why I love singing the Psalms.
Amen.
It's real.
Yep.
It's the Word of God. You know, you're not going to grow up singing that song and come away with a bunch of goofball doctrine. You're going to get the right doctrine from the Psalms. And look, I'm not one of these that says only sing the Psalms. I think that's silly. God wants to hear a new song also. You know, that basically it's great to sing hymns that are written by man, right? Not just, you know, we don't want to get this idea of, well, let's only sing God's word, like Puritans or something. Well, no, because God wants to hear praises from our heart and our mouth and our mind. You know, that which is man-made is not bad. So I believe we should use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, we should use all of the above. But the problem is, in most of our independent Baptist churches, there's never any singing of psalms, ever. None. Virtually. And if they do, they pick a few sweetness and light psalms. We need to sing some imprecatory psalms. We need to sing so we can have a balanced diet, amen? Sing the whole thing. Eventually, we'll get them all put to music, amen? All 150 of them.
Amen.
Where did I have you turn? Psalm 78, speaking of the book of Psalms. Psalm 78, verse 58 says, "For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel, so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He gave his people over also unto the sword and was wroth with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given to marriage." Now you say, you know, what does it mean when it says God abhorred them? The Lord abhorred them. Because people will try to explain this away. Well, that's not really what that means. It just means that he wasn't really happy. But when it says that he abhorred them, what did that look like? Well, it looked like him delivering them over to the sword, fire consuming them. Verse 64, their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. What does that mean? The Lord awaked as of one out of sleep and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. What's he saying? He's saying basically the Lord just went berserk on these people. That would be the best word, berserk. Right? I mean, that's what it's saying. I mean, like, imagine what it looks like. A guy who wakes out of sleep, a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. Like, imagine a guy who's just drunk and he's just swinging at everything. Right? The Bible's saying, look, God went berserk on these people. I mean, he tore them up. Yeah. It says in verse 66, he smote his enemies in the hinder parts. You know what that means? He kicked their butts. Yeah. That's what it means. You know, that's King James language for kicking their butts. He smote their hinder parts. Amen? He smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He put them to a perpetual reproach. And by the way, who were his enemies here? Israel. Read the context. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. So let me ask you this. Was Ephraim at this time the chosen people? But wait, they're Israelites. I thought they're just the chosen forever. Is that what the Bible says? Isn't it interesting that when part of the nation of Israel in the Old Testament, right, the 10 tribes, the majority, in fact, when the majority of Israel broke off from the southern kingdom and started worshiping idols, he said he chose them not. They're not his chosen people anymore. Ephraim and Issachar and Zebulun and Manasseh of that northern kingdom, he said, they're not chosen. I abhorred them. They're done. And by the way, they never became his chosen people again because they ended up being taken captive into Assyria, mingling with the heathen, and eventually coming the Samaritans. And when Jesus came on the scene in the New Testament, he didn't consider the Samaritans as Israel. He said, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he's talking about the Jews there. Why? Because the Samaritans, he didn't consider his people. He chose them not. He chose Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. But here's the thing. In the New Testament, he chose the Jews not, and he chose the saved, whether they be Jew or Gentile, whether they be bond or free. Because in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. So today, the elect or the chosen people are those who are justified by faith in Christ. So all that to say this morning, the title of the sermon is Make America Hate Again. Now, a few things about that title. Make America Hate Again is tongue-in-cheek of a title, and here's why. Because America already hates. They hate God, they hate church, they hate righteousness, they hate preaching, they hate clean living. So what I really mean by that when I say make America hate again, I'm saying, you know, make them hate the right things again. They need to hate sin and filth and wickedness and stop hating hard preaching, stop hating the Bible, stop hating him that rebuketh in the gate, stop hating the good. That's what they need to stop doing. And they need to start hating what God hates. If we have the mind of Christ, we're going to love what he loves, and we're going to hate what he hates. And you know what? Do we love the lost? Absolutely. That's why we're out showing our love. You know, show me your love without your works, and I'll show you my love by my works. And these bunch of watered-down Baptist churches today that want to talk about how we're so hateful and they're so loving, and, oh, you just don't love the sodomites. You know, I just heard a guy recently say, he said, Pastor Anderson's wicked reprobate doctrine is just sending so many people to hell. That's what he said. He said, Pastor Anderson's wicked reprobate doctrine is just sending so many people to hell. And what's funny is the guy that he was talking to in this kind of debate or interview thing, the guy that he's talking to said, well, that's funny because I live in Toronto, Canada, and every single church that I go to in Toronto has people in it that say they got saved from watching Pastor Anderson online. So if Pastor Anderson from Arizona is getting people saved all over Toronto, Canada, of all places, how is he sending all these people to hell? That's why you guys are just sending people to hell with that reprobate doctrine. You know what I say then? Why don't these fundamental Baptists go out and get all these bunch of queers saved then? They don't get anybody saved. They get somebody saved once in a blue moon. A lot of them don't even do door-to-door soul winning anymore. Or they just, well, lifestyle evangelism every 5 years. And you know what? It's just ridiculous Because we at Faithful Word Baptist Church, we preach the gospel to everybody. And we've accidentally witnessed to more homos than they've done on purpose. Because everybody behind the door doesn't come to the door wearing a shirt saying, I'm a homo. I've given the gospel to more homos than these bunch of bleeding heart pastors ever even thought of. And you know what? Millions of homos have listened to my preaching. Whoa, turned them away. They're already going to hell. They're already reprobate. They already hate the Lord. They're so worried about 1.3% of the population or 2.3% of the population, right? You know what? We're winning the other 97.7. That's what we're trying to do, working hard. And we're accidentally evangelizing the 2.3% in the process.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, when it comes to love and hate, it really goes by our actions. You know, what if I told my wife, I love you, honey, and then just treat her like dirt? Think about that. What if I told my wife I love her and I'm just rude, I'm a jerk, I don't spend any time with her, I'm totally selfish, everything's always my way, I never do anything that she wants? Would that be me loving her? I don't take care of her, I don't pay the bills, I don't give her anything she wants. You'd say, well, that guy doesn't love his wife. Have you heard the way he talks about his wife? Well, but he said he loves her, though. You'd say he's lying when he says he loves her, wouldn't you? The person who loves their wife is the one who treats their wife well. The person who loves the lost is the one who gives him the gospel.
That's right.
The person who loves their children is the person who disciplines them and trains them and raises them right, teaches them the truth, and not only just that, but spends time with them. Right? I mean, how could I say I love my children? I never want to be around them. I never want to go anywhere with them. I never want to take them with me. I never want to spend time with them. I never want to talk with them. I never want to listen to them. You'd say, well, that guy doesn't love his kids. He's never around. He's never even around. You see, there's a lot of talk about love today, isn't there? But what we need is to love in deed and in truth. If you love Faithful Word Baptist Church, you'll show up. Oh, I love that church. You come once a month. You'd say, well, you must not love it that much. But you're down at whatever the other alternative activity every week and every month. Then you say, okay, well, we see where your love is based on what you do, not based on what you... It's pretty easy to get up and say, I love everybody. And then you'd be a popular preacher. I just love everybody. Isn't God good? I just love the Lord so much. I just love God so much. Don't you just love God, everybody? As the preacher and everybody in the pew does what they want, believes what they want, doesn't follow the Bible, doesn't win souls, it's a joke, friend. So that's why I have nothing to be defensive about. I'm not ashamed to say that our church has been declared a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Because the Southern Poverty Law Center is one of the filthiest, most perverted organizations that has ever existed. And their iniquity has found them to be hateful.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's not a government organization. It's some communist, left-wing, liberal, Judaizing think tank. Literally founded by a pedophile, by a literal known pedophile, okay? That's the Southern Poverty Law.
Oh, how do you feel, Pastor Harrison, that they declared you?
I don't even care. Nuts to you. Because anybody who sets foot in this church knows this is not a hateful place. This is a loving place. We are not hateful. And people say, are you hateful? No, I'm not. I just have a healthy amount of hate. I'm not full. I have the recommended daily allowance of hate. And I don't let the sun go down on my wrath. I'm a happy person. I'm a joyful, loving, peaceful, happy, gentle person. But sometimes you got to get up behind the pulpit and breathe some fire, amen?
Amen.
We got to hate the evil and love the good if we want God to be gracious to our nation. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, Lord, that we could renew our minds. Lord, help us not to be brainwashed. It's scary to see how everybody's minds all go the same direction, because every single day there's some item in the news that we're all supposed to obsess over, that we're all supposed to think about that day. Lord, help us to take control of our own thoughts and get in the Word of God and think about what you would have us to think about, not to just think about whatever the media puts in our head that day, Lord. Help us to take back our minds. Because, Lord, I firmly believe that anybody who believes that hate is bad is just completely brainwashed and has never read the Bible. And so I pray that if there's anybody here like that this morning, that they would repent, Lord, and get that foolish thought out of their head and renew their mind with the whole Bible, not just cherry-picked proof text verses, but rather with 60, 70, 80 verses, Lord, that we looked at this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, the Bible's really clear on salvation. It's not based on how good you are. A lot of people think they're pretty good, you know, and yeah, they're going to get to heaven because they're pretty good. But the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. I'm not righteous, you're not righteous. And if it were our goodness that would get us into heaven, none of us would be going.